Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the JIG call on the 10th of January 2012. On the call today, we have Edmund Chung, Avi Doyle, Bart Buswinkle, Chris Dillon, and Dane Zhang. From staff, we have myself, Natalie Peregrine. We have apologies from Fahd Batanis, Samad Hussein, and Rafiq Damak. I would like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Edmund.
Thank you, Natalie, and I also see apologies from Iam. So, thank you everyone for joining this call. Sent around a fairly brief agenda for today, quite a few items on it, but should be fairly short on most of the items. I see that Bart has already provided some update to it, but I guess you know we can quickly go through it anyway. I guess first item to just the posting of the initial report. Sorry, I actually missed the announcement, but I see that it went out late last week. In terms of posting of the initial report on the universal acceptance of ID and TLD. So thank you, Bart, for getting that set.
Yes.
When does it run until? Let me see. You have the... Right now, when does the comment period end?
The comment period itself ends at the 7th of April. This is Bart for transcription purposes. The comment period itself ends on the 7th of February, but due to the new format, there is a reply period as well. And there is no link in between, so I've extended it until early March, but that doesn't mean that the working group couldn't continue and by the end of February review the comments received. I've also included, if you look at the email, I've included a suggestion that in order to avoid... say issues like the one we had with the board resolution, that the co-chairs inform the other SO and AC chairs as a first step, and maybe because of say the broad impact of the topic, maybe even inform external stakeholders, maybe inside the ITF. But it's just a suggestion.
No, I think that those are good suggestions. In fact, I have also been in touch with the staff team that's looking at this issue, especially with the new GTLD program being launched. I think it's an issue of importance, for a lot of things. So, and I think actually in one of our discussions, Natalie joined our call as well at one point. And I think as we progress, I think Natalie it was Nadia. Is it Nadia?
Or Naila.
Naila. All right. And Carla will be joining us as well as we go down the path, because there's some work that's being done as the new GTLD program is rolled out as well. So yes, I definitely think we should reach out to the two SOs and ITF and as broad as possible in terms of community to get some feedback on how we deal with this particular issue.
So maybe, but that's more for offline, say, either today or tomorrow, that we sort out who is going to do what, otherwise we lose a lot of time again.
Right. Thank you, Bart, actually. I wonder, I guess, between, I can initiate the Maybe myself and Avery can help initiate the note to GNSO side and get the council as well as the stakeholder groups make them aware of the public comments that are being sought, and also get some feedback from it. I guess, Jane, I wonder if you and maybe Bart can help out as well to connect with the CCNSO side
That's a no-brainer. I think ASEC, ALAC, and the GAC are more important to reach out to. The CCNSO, because you've got CCNSO members on the working group and GNSO members on the working group, these are the least problematic. It's the other SOs and ACs.
Good point. So I guess we'll start with a note to the chairs, to the respective chairs, and seek their participation in sending this out to their members. And I guess hopefully it's an issue of interest. Okay, I guess I'll get that started and probably keep everyone in the loop on that.
Yeah, or just use it as an action item and report back next call on the status. That's easier. It's just an administrative.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay,
sounds good.
We'll initiate it today and then see where we're heading.
Okay, so you said you were going to initiate it, or? Okay.
I don't mind drafting a note. So
yeah, if you can, please do, and you can feel free to keep me in the loop, me and Jane in the loop, and then we'll take it from there.
And maybe with a CC to the jig itself, and then say by the end of this week we can send it, you or and Jan can send it to the SOs and AC chairs. It's going to be very simple, but just to inform that this is happening.
Sounds good. Looking at the link, the announcement link that you sent me, it doesn't say when the comment period ends.
It should.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm looking at the right page, but if I click on the announcement that you sent, it only shows comment period opens on.
But
has no.
If you go to the comment box, it's because I use a template, and this is, we got these new templates. Otherwise, I'll get back to them.
So that's also what you see, right? So you're going to connect with them and see and get it fixed. All right, cool. Any thoughts on...
Oh, yeah. Admin?
Please.
I just checked, and there is, if you go to the announcement itself, there is a link to the announcement. If you click that one, then you see the whole period.
Ah, okay. Got it.
There it is. There is a full description there of the Whitsun questions.
Okay. That's good. Okay, that's good then. I guess this is probably a better link than the other one. If we're going to send it around. Okay. So that's on the first item. I wonder if anyone has any further thoughts or suggestions as to, I guess, where we should send this out to. Because actually, Avery and Chris, if you have any idea where to send this around to, please go crazy on it. Okay. So I guess we'll move on to the next item, which is the response, the drafted response to the August 2011 board resolution on our on the single cluster IDN TLDs. So as we discussed last time, actually, so the GNSO council resolved it, and the CCNSO council is thinking of drafting their own response. So I do see that Bart sent an update on that. It's the CCNSO letter is being drafted, and I guess I've been reaching out to Stefan and Leslie on the item as well. I think for the time being, the GNSO resolution specified fairly clearly that it requires a mutual approval from the two councils before it's being, you know, further action is being taken. So that hasn't been achieved. I guess the current thinking is still to try to come to a mutual set of wording for the response. And so I guess we're waiting for the CCNSO to put a first draft together and take a look at it. Bart, did you want to add to that?
No, I think it's captured. I would say the status is, as far as I know, say there is this small drafting group within the CCNSO council, and that has and the draft is now circulating, and it covers the topics I've mentioned in the email, and hopefully this week it will be ready, and then will be shared and forwarded with the CCNSO council at large, and shared with the GNSO council.
Okay.
So it should happen this week, early next week.
Okay. Jane, I wonder if you wanted to add anything, because I think you missed last call and last time, and I wonder if you have anything to add in terms of the CCNSO Council's response on the item.
Not really.
Okay. So I guess that's the status right now. We'll wait to hear from the CCNSO drafting team, and I guess we'll circulate to this list as well, of course, and then see if there are anything that we want to add or as it's being considered again by the two councils. Okay. So the next three topics are somewhat related on the one of the issues of common interest that we identified. It's the IDN variant TLD issue. We see that the VIP has published an integrated report. Unfortunately, Dennis couldn't join us to give us a quick walkthrough. But I guess I wonder how many people, you know, if most have had the chance to read it. I can say I have read, I have skimmed through it. I can't say I've read it in very much detail. But a couple of things I guess I wanted to highlight. One is that this is a work from staff, actually. I think that's probably a good way to describe it. And so I think there is a it is called the integrated report. It does introduce a number of things that is not in the study team report separately, but an interpretation of them and an attempt to integrate them. Personally, I think that, you know, at first glance, it seems to be a reasonable approach. I think there are a lot of work that was put in place to try to pull together the six commonalities or the differences between the study team reports on the issue of IDM variants. And but I guess what I wanted to try to get the sense of this group is a couple of things. One is whether we would consider putting together a set of responses to the integrated report, and the second item is, you know, how we should consider our own work on the topic going forward. So I guess the first one first, what are people's thoughts on us taking a deeper look at the document and potentially putting a drafting a response on that?
This is Aubrey.
Please, Aubrey.
A quick comment is I also have not read it and think I would need to read it before I had an opinion on either subject.
Okay, fair enough. I guess perhaps in a process point of view, you think, you know, this group it's appropriate for this group to, I guess, send into the public comment period on that item, or is it better for us to go back to our stakeholder groups or groups and send in comments through there, and this group would, in fact, continue to observe that work as we work on our parts of the topic. I wonder if Avery or Chris or Dane have any thoughts.
Edmund, this is Chris speaking. I have been reading the report slowly. And to cut a long story short, I think that the latter approach, so actually taking it back to stakeholder groups and saying, you know, what do you think on of this? I think that's likely to be an easier approach. The thing is very, very long, and I mean, I certainly wasn't reading it thinking I really don't agree with that. But there are situations where it offers several alternative solutions and that sort of thing. You know, at that point, stakeholder groups may be interested in saying, well, you know, we don't like the sound of that solution or something like that.
Right, that's sort of my first reaction as well, especially us as a joint group between CC and G. We might take fairly different, might have a very different take on some of the solution parts of things.
Yes, it's even conceivable that a solution that is favoured by one group will be disliked by another, and then the fun starts.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is Aubrey.
Aubrey, please.
On a procedural basis, I would think that if this group really had a large group of people actively participating, there'd be absolutely no problem with it sending in comments, questions, commentary, whatever, directly to a comment period. If the group was large and active and could reach consensus on those comments. But otherwise, especially a small group as we've become, I think I agree that taking any issues, perhaps if there is something after we've all read it and there's more of us talking that we did come up in common, as I say, great, that would be fine, I think, to go directly. And certainly if we had comments and things we didn't understand, then sending in something directly would not be amiss. But I agree in general that taking any recommendations on how to react to it would be better done through the chartering organization.
Okay. Thank you, Aubrey and Chris. I guess I I very much agree, and especially Avery, you mentioned that I don't think at this point we want to try to say we represent the joint opinions of the CCNSO and GNSO, and that I don't want to appear that way. So that's why, you know, when that's the reason why I mentioned what I mentioned earlier, whether it's appropriate for us to do that, to draft a comment coming from this group. So especially with, as Avery, you mentioned, you know, this is a small team that we have here. But I guess we can certainly ask the question and see if the councils are interested in us taking a deeper look and providing them with our thoughts. So that might be the approach. So as I reach out to them about the universal acceptance of IDMTLDs, I guess I could bring this issue up as well and get their response on that. Yeah. Okay. So I guess we'll go back to the chartering organization to see what their thoughts are, whether we should take this up. But in the meantime, I think it's a fairly important piece of work, and that rolls into our own discussion on the next steps on IDN variant TLDs. What I do think, instead of sort of like a comment to the integrated report, I think we should start looking at what, you know, based on that report, to pick out the areas that this group should work with. And in particular, I've had a brief discussion with Dennis on this as well. In particular, I think what might be useful for VIP or, you know, whatever the VIP becomes in the future, as further work is done on the actual solution or implementation, I think one of the things that this group might do that is of value is to try to identify, because the current report identifies potential solutions. It doesn't recommend a particular solution. It talks about potential solutions or potential directions towards the solution. What might be useful from this group, and especially on this subject, might be to identify if we go down a certain particular path, whether policy development is required, both on the GNSO side and the CCNSO side. Because the study teams themselves, as well as the integrated report, doesn't take into consideration whether some of the potential solutions might require a PDP, for example, or some policy development process. Perhaps what this group can do is take those scenarios and take a look at, you know, what direction might require, you know, I guess take a look at the already existing PDP results, for example, from the GNSO IDM working group and other GNSO recommendations, see if that is already enough for, I guess which part is already enough and which part still needs work. I guess similar vein in terms of the CCNSO side, as the CDP continues, we could potentially take a look at, you know, these potential solutions, these things have, you know, could already be dealt with certain CCNSO policies, but you know, if certain things, you know, need to be done, new policies need to be developed. So that's sort of my you know, after quickly glancing through the document and wrapping my head around it, that's sort of the idea right now. I wonder what other people think. That is, you know, in concise in a brief format is. Now, I think what this group can do is to identify where policy development processes is already done for certain parts of the solution, and where policy development processes need to be initiated in the future if certain direction is taken.
Edmund, this is Chris again. One area I think that could be quite interesting from a policy point of view is the label generation rules in Section 4.2, because they give many scenarios for that, and I think quite a few of them require policy.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's sort of the label generation rule.
Yeah.
The way to approach it, how it's, you know, it talks about you looking at it as a whole script and a sort of a meta or superset of all the variants being generated and so forth, right?
Partly that, but also actually how it should be done, you know, whether expert panels are required. I think there are about five different suggestions being made there. It may be an interesting way of getting into the report, because a lot of the beginning of it is talking about variants, but I think it may be unlikely that we actually discover new sorts of variants at this point of view. It's probably just a matter of saying, oh, well, yes, that's a good classification of all the variants that could mm-hmm. exist, and perhaps we don't want to recognize all of them. But, you know, this label generation stuff, that looks very interesting to me.
Right. Yeah, I think I have a similar view as well. I mean, reading the report seems like, yeah, I think it's great work being done in terms of classifying and categorizing things. I think the meat of it is the actual implementation. Speaking of label generation and using panels and stuff, I think at least for the GNSO part, the recommendations currently already point to, you know, for certain things already point to that direction. Actually, how those panels are being put together, I sort of might consider that implementation, work. Of course, this whole thing about what's implementation and what's policy is a completely different discussion, but there are certain things that is already in the GNSO recommendations that does support it. That's sort of why I think would be useful for everyone involved in this discussion to identify those things that have already been discussed, has already been incorporated into the policy recommendation, so we don't have to go back to it, and focus on, you know, issues such as, you know, how do you apply or for a variant, whether that requires an actual policy, new set of policy recommendations from the CCNSO or GNSO. So that's sort of, I agree very much. I think we should focus on the meat of which as you identified, Section 4 mainly. I don't have it in front of me. I'm trying to bring it up, but
The five options are actually in Section 4.2, but yes, I think the whole of Section 4 is interesting reading, as is Section 7.
Right. So, I guess the question is how we go about it. I wonder, Chris, since you are going through it, I wonder if you could maybe help start the discussion off with, you know, maybe, as you just identified some of the items, if you could help identify a set of bullet points that perhaps this group should take a deeper look, especially on trying to figure out whether current policy recommendations already cover it or not. and sense the list, and perhaps we can start from there.
I can certainly have a go at something like that. Off the top of my head, I think the two likely sections of the report where that sort of thing would be needed, as I say, are Section 4 with all of that stuff on the label generation rules. But Section 7 is actually even more interesting because that's very much talking about what's left to be done. So that could raise all sorts of stuff, I would think.
Okay. So, yeah, let's focus on 4.2 and 7. And, the way I see it is that if we start, highlight some of the issues, we can start the work as we, observe the report being finalized. Since I guess after the public comment period, maybe some changes will be made and then it will be finalized. But as that progresses, we could start work on our side. And if there is clarification that we needed, we could at that time decide whether we want to use the public comment period or we would just ask the VIP team. Okay.
Yes.
So, thank you for volunteering.
Let's see where we get with it.
Yeah. So I guess we'll hear from you. Just if you have, just maybe list a bunch of thoughts on section 4.2 and 7. And we'll go from there on the mailing list.
I'm just naming those two sections because they really stick in my mind. It's right. Possible that there are other similar areas where, at the moment it's actually not clear what's going to happen from now on. And typically that means that there is more than one way of going forward. So I suppose whenever that happens, we are likely to have opinions about one way being better than another, for example. So that could be worth doing.
Right. Okay, so I guess we have volunteered to help us get started on this topic, and that's sort of that brings us to the end of the suggested agenda today. I wonder if anyone has other things to add, and of course other people who thinks, have any thoughts on the IDM variant TLV issues, please feel free to jump in.
Again, Chris, just briefly, one thought that is going through my mind at the moment is whether there could be variant issues in scripts which actually the variant issue teams didn't look at. So major scripts would be Hebrew and Thai and quite a lot of Indian scripts. That's one nagging feeling I have over this.
That's a very good question. I guess my first reaction is whether this is the group to do that. I guess looking at the chartering organizations, which is coming from the SOs, much more on the policy end. And in fact, when we first took upon this particular issue, the biggest question was, whether we had the linguistic expertise to raise these type of issues. We could certainly raise this, but I don't know how much we can take it. Not saying that it shouldn't be part of when we consider the things, it shouldn't be part of our report, but I wonder if that's probably not going to be the the meat of what we want to produce.
I think that is about the only comment I would make about variance now. Just to say that it is not inconceivable that there could be usages we are not aware of. I think we would have to be terribly unlucky for that to be the case. But until. These other major scripts have been considered, we can't completely rule it out. But I think that's almost all I would have to say about variants. As I said earlier, I think there are other sections of that report that are more interesting in that sense.
Well, we do have Avery on the call in here. If I remember correctly, you know Hebrew.
Yeah, no, my interest was just piqued to go check out because, I do know Hebrew.
So you might get a sense of whether, the study teams, the classifications and everything completely missed the point of Hebrew, or it would fit nicely into some of the categories.
I'll take a look at it. As I said, I haven't even cracked it yet to look at it, so I have no basis on which to speak, but my interest has been piqued.
Cool. At least we'll have Hebrew as a testing case and see if if there are still a lot of other things possible. So I guess we have a couple of action items coming up from this meeting. So we'll hear from Chris and Avery on the general items and Avery on the Hebrew, how it fits in. Okay. I guess
perhaps,
with that, and hearing no further...
If we want to give ourselves Avery, homework,
please.
Is that we read the thing before our next meeting.
Oh, yes. I thought I would... It was implicit. That everyone should.
Implicit that there's sort of an action item. At least for me, I know I have to. But perhaps if it's recommended as an action item coming out of this, is that we try as much as possible in our copious free time to actually get the thing read. Because I'm sure I, among the people who aren't on the call but are members of this, I'm not the only one that hasn't read it yet.
Sure. And I'll send a note to the list as well on this specific item and get everyone to take a look at it as we consider our next steps on our work.
Can I bring up another thing, which is I know it's at the end and I don't think we have time to talk about it because I don't have to leave for another call, but we really have to figure out with the low attendance we have at calls and the few people commenting, we may have to at some point take a look at the viability of taking on more tasks as time goes on a group that doesn't seem to have a strong level of participation at the moment. So perhaps we need to go back to our respective chartering clubs and say, hey, we need more people to participate.
That's a very good question. We do get a better attendance and participation at the face-to-face meetings, and that's one of the things, the reason why I continue to work hard with staff to try to at least schedule in some time while we're at the face-to-face meetings. But I think, Avery, as you mentioned, that's probably the best way to go, and we'll go back to the chartering organizations and try to get more interest and get the volunteers, at least the main members, the quote unquote voting members, to participate a little bit more in the mailing list and Avery.
I was going to say I have to get off now, but I speak a lot, but I'm just an observer from the GNSL. I'm not even a voting member, as it were. So, really, we need those folks to participate to be viable in terms of making any recommendations or anything. I got to leave. Bye.
Okay. Bye, Avery.
Bye.
So I guess with that, that's certainly an action item. I guess Jane and I needs to work on that and improve on that as well.
I mean, also, you know, this is just a comment from Chris, but on the plus side, these calls are really useful because, you know, I've just been reading several long ICANN reports, and it is really nice to have the opportunity just to bring up bits from them with people who know about them. I mean, it makes a huge difference. I mean, it's fascinating stuff, but it can be quite lonely sometimes.
Well, we hope to be less lonely. I guess
yes.
That's the Avery's
the calls point. Are a solution.
Okay.
It's always worth when advertising something, you know, just to, you know, to give the sort of, you know, well, why would you want to do this? And for me, that's quite that's certainly one of the reasons, just to talk to other people, gradually to understand things as they develop. It's probably particularly important for newish people.
Well, we need to try out to find more people like you.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
Okay, so I guess we're at the top of the hour, and hearing no further items being brought up, I think we'll close the call, and we'll hopefully see a bit more action on the mailing list. I guess our next call should be 2 weeks from now. On that particular item, I'm just looking at the calendar right now. That's the new Chinese New Year. Okay, so some might have some problem, but I guess we'll go back to the list if we need to reschedule. But for now, I guess we'll target for it to be 2 weeks from now.
then probably Chris will be even more lonely.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Thank you for your time.
Goodbye,
Happy New Year again.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.